Luke chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, I think you'll be blessed to read along there. Luke chapter 12. And we have, it's not a new problem, but it's one that's been around through the centuries and one that Jesus addresses here in our text, as we'll see. And there's a modern word for it, if you would, called materialism. And maybe you're familiar with that. I remember learning about that in school and something we studied. And that's, there's several different definitions of materialism. But in short, it puts all the emphasis on what you can see, what you can touch. It makes what, you know, the things of matter, the things of this, our temporal possessions, are the, it says, are the greatest value, the greatest, you know, thing to seek after in life. They're the only true reality, the only thing that has certain lasting effect. And that's the idea of materialism, or excessive regard for worldly concerns. And that's not a new problem. Let's look here in the text of Luke chapter 12, and let's begin in verse 13. And in verse 1, we see that there's a great multitude. They're stepping on one another, it says, trying to get to Jesus to hear. Jesus is popular. He's done great things. He's famous. He's in the newspapers. And so everybody's coming to see him and to hear him. And we find here that he's speaking to his disciples. And then someone from this crowd comes up to him. And notice verse 13, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them," Jesus says, "take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's pray and see what God has to teach us from this today. Dear Father, I pray that you would teach us from your word. I pray that your spirit would open up our eyes to understand these spiritual things. I pray that we take your lesson home to our hearts that Jesus taught here 2,000 years ago, and that we'd be changed from it, and we'd walk in closer fellowship with you from this night. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I want to look at these words of Jesus right here. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness," verse 15. Now, I don't think this was a very popular message then, and it's not one that we hear often now. And our world is so centered upon things. We're things-oriented. You know, who dies with the most toys wins. I've heard that many times. It's because of, you know, money talks, people say. You know, we use things. But God has always wanted his people to have the right perspective toward things. It's important to note, Jesus in this parable does not condemn inheritances or riches or anything of the such, or wealth. But he is condemning covetousness. And so let's note some things here. Jesus says, beware of it. He told us in Jeremiah 6:13 that from the least to the greatest, all of his people were given to covetousness. That's quite an accusation, but he knew their hearts. And Jesus is seeking to warn his children of just, this is revealing the danger of covetousness and reveals their folly of such a one in their life and misery and their death. Let's look at the story here. A man's coming to Jesus and he says, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now it doesn't tell us much about this, but it tells us what we need to know. We don't know who this man was. We don't know the situation. Maybe he was Maybe he was getting cheated out of something. Jesus never argued this point with him. He just said, that's not my place to deal with this issue. You have the law. He had set biblical things, precedents and laws up regarding inheritances. And maybe this son didn't really like that. Maybe he was one of the younger sons and just he wanted more than he was getting. Maybe he thought he was being cheated out of something. It's possible that he was a wayward son and he heard of his father's death and comes back and finds that he's not even in the will and now feels like, give me the stuff that's owed me. And so we don't know a lot about this, but it appears that Jesus has no sympathy or help for him. He just says, you know, just go your way. That's not my problem. But if you look closely, it's really not the case. And Jesus recognized this man had a heart problem that the inheritance wouldn't solve. He knew that he would not be rich with this inheritance, and he could still be poor with it, whether he had all the money in the world. And Jesus says, your problem is covetousness. And he turns to those standing by, and it's like he says, okay, now I'm going to reveal the heart of this man in a story, in a parable. A parable is a spiritual lesson taught by physical things. And so Jesus is going to speak this parable, and he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I want to note some things about covetousness tonight, and we're going to limit our focus to that, even though there's a lot more here. But notice, first of all, that covetousness creates a distorted view of life. The verse we just read, that's not the way we always see things. To us, possessions, they form such a daily part of our life that it's so easy to become attached to all the things that we have. And maybe wrongly so. Jesus says, life isn't all about things. It's not about the money. It's not about what you have. It's about who you are. And sometimes we have in our minds, success is, and we fill in the blank. A man I was speaking to 2 weeks ago, just chatting with him about spiritual things, and he talks to me, you know, just telling me basically his idea of life and how he was going to make some money, because if you don't have money, you're thought nothing of and all this, and how I needed to get a job that would give me enough money and all that. And I appreciated his concern for me. From his point of view, that's everything. And I understand that we do need money to survive in this world. And that's not necessarily the lesson here, but we must be careful about covetousness, the idea of this over-regard for our possessions and things of that nature. And you say, well, I don't have that much. I don't have a big bank account, so no problem with me being covetous. But did you notice this man was concerned about something he didn't have? He wanted something he didn't have. So it's possible to not have something and still be covetous. So Jesus, if life is about how much you have, then Jesus was a failure. You know, he didn't have that much. He said, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And that wasn't his mission here. And he set an example to us all in that. The Bible says, talking about some in 1 Timothy, it says that they suppose that gain is godliness. And that's not necessarily the case. So we find that possessions, we're to live with them, not for them. And so covetousness, it creates a distorted view of life in placing all the emphasis on what we have, on possessions. And that's the meaning. That's what we find in life. It does another thing here. We find that it produces selfishness. You know, this man came to Jesus and he's all concerned about himself. Now we know so many people did come to Jesus, and it's not my goal tonight to, you know, push this man down or anything, but Jesus, in revealing his heart in the parable to come, shows a selfish man, a self-centered man, a life built on self, a man that keeps saying, I will do this, I will do this, a life centered on ease, and he was all focused in himself. And so we see that he cared nothing for Christ. He came to the Lord, but, you know, he says master, but that's about the only religion he had. And the Lord was just a tool, Lord, help me get this. Lord, I need you to help me do this. But no No coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to serve you with my life. Lord, I want to be yours. And that's the attitude we need to have, that attitude of service. So he offers no personal need. God's not in his plans. I'll jump back and forth between the man that's coming to the Lord and the man in the parable, because I think they're kind of one and the same. Jesus is connecting the two there. But the man in the parable, God wasn't in his thoughts, wasn't in his plans. It wasn't, if the Lord will, we'll go into such a city. Jesus said, we are to say that, recognizing that God's sovereign. God ought to be in our plans. He says, what shall I do? No consulting of the Lord. This man was selfish. I'm sure if you got in the way of him making money, you saw a bad side to him. And that's what covetousness does. And Jesus is condemning, as I said, covetousness, not wealth. He loves to give, I believe, many of his children wealth when they will use it well. He said, bring in the tithes, and in response to that, to those who were faithful with the talents, with the tithes, he says, I'll pour out the blessings of heaven on you, that you won't be able to receive it. God says the liberal soul shall be made fat. And we know that the poor in spirit inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so it's not that every Christian's going to be rich, but neither is God against riches. They're his to do with what he will. Amen. And it's important. Sometimes we look in the Bible and say, oh, God condemned rich men. But he did say it's hard for them to get into heaven because their trust was often the riches. But God does not necessarily condemn wealth, just the love of money. So it's important to note that. But I want to notice in 1 Timothy here, chapter 6, the Lord tells us some things. He talks about riches here and contentment. In verse 5 of 1 Timothy 6, he says, talking about these men here, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here we see our Lord's is out of love and concern and care for us. He's saying, be careful about this thing of covetousness. Be careful about how it wants to promote an excessive love for the things down here, the temporal things that aren't going to last, an excessive amount of selfishness in our lives. And there's another thing here that covetousness does. It offers gain without work and riches without cares. It's deceptive. Covetousness, it offers gain without work and riches without cares. We see this in the story and overall in life. I'm guilty of saying it too. You know, if I won the lottery, or man, if I did this, or if I had, or if I got, and it's those subtle ways I don't even realize is covetousness. Now, I know we don't always mean it for real, but if we're not careful, that kind of desire to have is not necessarily God's way. God in the Bible condemns wealth gotten through unjust, lazy means. And that's something we have to be careful about. Lotteries, even raffles, things like that. We have to be careful as God's people not to be greedy of gain. He says, he that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Over and over, the Proverbs warn us of the get rich quick. And God blesses hard work like the ant. Be diligent, and he says, I'll bless that. Honor me with your first fruits, and I'll multiply. And that's God's way. And so riches without cares, he says this, the abundance of riches brought cares to this man's life. You know, it's not always peace. He says, I believe it is verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. It brings puzzlement. It brings concerns. It brings cares. You know, you need the guard security system on your house. Then you need the guard fence, and then you need the guard dog, and then you need the guard gun, and then whatever else you need to guard. And all because sometimes it's because of covetousness. And that's something we need to be careful. This is what covetousness does, and our Lord is warning us of such. It causes us to misplace the values of things in life. And with an excessive regard to temporal things and a selfish attitude, and it promotes gains without work and riches without cares, and unbiblical theology. Now, as we think about covetousness tonight, there's a second thing I believe it does that's maybe even worse. Covetousness, number one, it creates a distorted view of life and success. That's not God's view. But secondly, it dulls the senses to what's truly important. And this brought tragedy to this man's life and changed his course forever. You see, this man had built his life on something that wouldn't last. And Jesus is trying to show the man who came to him, this younger brother, I'm in my visioning in my mind, maybe two brothers or something, the younger's come to him, give me the inheritance. And Jesus is trying to say, whether you get the inheritance or not, that's not my business. The law will take care of that. But this covetous heart you had, it'll ruin you. It'll ruin you for good. And he's endeavoring to show this man this, and he's telling this story so that this man can see his heart and repent and say, whoa, I better be careful. I better watch out. You see, because he's getting ready to build his life and put all his energies for something that's just not going to last. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. We can put things ahead. We can lay up treasure, but we can't carry anything out with us. You see, all this man in the parable, this rich man, all he ever did was consider this life. Every thought was about how to make money and what to do in this life. It never rose to the life after, to eternal. All he thought was this tiny little space of time and never gave thought to the eternal. And this was a tragedy. He says, I have much goods laid up for many years. He's rich. He's set. He thought he was rich, but he was really poor. He was set for life, but he wasn't set for death. He had neglected what was most important. He has much goods for many years. When God called, it says, but God. Each man sooner or later will meet God. The atheist and the Christian alike, they're going to meet God. And it says, the death called out to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Death is coming to each one of us. And how we're going to serve the Lord, we don't know what time we have. It seems sudden, whether it was sickness. We don't know how it came to this man. It seems like a sudden event, though, maybe a heart attack. Maybe he fell over and died of a brain aneurysm or whatever it was. Just like that, death came to that home. And death is coming to each one of us. And what have we invested in the future? Or is our life just simply, we have it before us. He took nothing with us. He had tons of possessions to last him on earth, but not one nightshirt in eternity. He had the riches to last forever, but not a penny for the life after. He thought he was rich, but he was a poor man. He simply was not ready for death. So death comes suddenly. He says, thy soul shall be required of thee. When you say something's required, in this sense, it seemed maybe like he didn't want to go. He wasn't ready to go. Oh, but your soul's required, God says. It has to come. There's an accounting. And it's like down here was heaven to him. Down here was home, and that's all he had. He didn't want to leave it. And down here is not home. Down here is not heaven for the Christian. There's a guy at work, he always says, another day in paradise, but it's not so. It may be for him, sadly. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I've never really spoken to him about that. But this isn't heaven for us. We have something better. And so Jesus says that he's a fool. And Jesus gave him good reason for that. First of all, because he thought he was rich. But Jesus says, really, he's poor. This man in the story is poor. He didn't have anything of true wealth. Nothing, something lasts a lifetime, but nothing to last eternity. He had no time for God in this world. We find in Psalm, the Lord talking about, in Psalm 49, the rich and their end, their life. And I want to read you several verses in Psalm 49, verse 9. It says this, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. This is their thought process of these, the rich man. We're picking up in the middle here. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and leave their wealth to others. They can't take it with them. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. They're giving no thought to the future. This is all they think of. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. In verse 16 he says, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. And it goes on to talk about the shortness of this life and the vanity of putting our trust in these things around us. So the Christian, as a Christian, will find that worldly pursuits, the wealth of this world, it's never really going to satisfy our heart. And Solomon, the richest man who lived, and I know he kind of got away from the Lord at the end, but still he wrote, gets recorded for us. He said, it's all vanity. He had the wealth more than any of us in here. He's tried that. And wealth alone isn't going to do it. It's not going to bring happiness or security or peace or joy to the soul. And this man found that in this parable. Nothing he had in all his great possessions, in all his barns, you could have looked in every one of them, and he had nothing that would satisfy his soul. It just, like that, it was gone. Nothing that was truly going to last. Nothing that could save him or redeem his soul or take away his sins. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, that was slain, and 1 Peter talks about. And so, covetousness, we're told that it chokes out the love of God and our love for God. In Matthew 13:10, in this story about the wheat and the tares, 13:22, excuse me, Jesus said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And we find that the worst thing covetousness did to this man is that it caused him to miss salvation, to miss the Savior. This man in the story, he came so close to Christ. He walks up to him. He says, Master, he sees Jesus. He sees what he's doing. But covetousness just blinds his eyes to the true riches of salvation, to the true riches and wealth of the joys of the Spirit of God and of being a Christian, of having your sins forgiven. He misses it all, to the true riches of Christ, of grace, of glory that we're told about in Ephesians. He misses it all. And just covetousness, he just walks right past the Savior. Walks right past. And I pray that God may lift our eyes up from the things of the world. We get so distracted with them. And they're important. But sometimes they become too important to us. And God wants to lift our eyes, lift our focus to what true success is, lasting wealth. There's only a couple things that are going to last. What you do for Christ will last. And what you don't, those your service. The souls of men will last. What are you doing to reach someone? That's going to last. Their soul's going to last. The word of God will last. What we do with that, whether we study it and obey it and love it, these things are going to last forever. And through proper use of these things, we lay up treasures in heaven. Maybe it's right across the page for you in verse 32. The Lord says, fear not, little flock. And by the way, 22 through 34, the same chapter, the Lord goes on to tell us how not to be covetousness and the right view to have and how to balance living in a world thing-centered and not becoming that way ourself. But he says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And our Lord tells us here, that's why he doesn't want us to have great stockpiles here on earth, to become centered here, because we'll begin to love the things of the world. And he clearly tells us, love not the world, neither the things in the world. So this man missed what life was really about. He missed the true riches in Christ Jesus. And it's so important we don't miss that today. And because of his covetousness, it caused him to miss the Savior. Sometimes because of our covetousness, it could cause others to miss the Savior. If we get distracted and pulled away by the wrong focus on things, we won't have time for what's really important. We won't have time to reach out to someone else. We'll miss our focus. That won't be important to us anymore. You know, I work a job too. I go to work to get paid, to earn money. I don't go there just to have a good time and a fun experience. I understand we go to work to make money, but that can't be the end goal. The Lord said, we serve the Lord Christ. And he said, that's where it stands. We're to do it to the glory of God, to have the right focus there. And as we think on this focus, we need to develop another sense. You know, we have the senses of sight, smell, taste, hearing, touch. If I didn't say that already. We have all these senses. And as a Christian, God has given us the ability to develop another sense. And it's the eternal one. It's the sense that the Holy Spirit, he works it in us, dimming the things of this world and giving us a clear insight to what's really going to last, what's really going to matter. It doesn't make sense to the world because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not saved. But as a Christian, if we're saved, God wants to develop this in us. And he explains this over and over in many places, such as Colossians 3, 1 through 4. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We need to develop this other sense. And we have to take God's word for it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, Jesus came from heaven and he went back there. He knew the truth about it all. He had seen everything and he says, life, I see the big picture. It's like if we could back up a little bit and just see how short it is, like a vapor, and say, okay, let's get some priorities straight. Let's find out what's really important and spend this really short time on that. Jim Elliot is credited with saying something along this line. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Eternal things. What are we doing with eternal things? Where is our treasure? Is it here? Is it there? What are we treasuring today? It says, lay up treasures in heaven. Anthony Farrandon, I came across this quote. I had found it a long time ago. I don't know where I found it, but it says, see no riches but in grace, no health but in piety, no beauty but in holiness, no treasure but in heaven, no delight but in things above. Have the right focus. And so that's what salvation means. It means operating on a new value system and a heavenly currency. And our Lord said it's going to be recorded forever in heaven. It has been. Beware of covetousness. Search your hearts. As covetousness has an improper affection for things come in, that's maybe, it's not so much that's bad, but it hinders the good. Because we've got sidetracked to the wrong priorities of life. And so, ultimately, it caused this man, as we saw, to miss his soul. To miss the Savior completely. And let's get covetousness taken care of Search your hearts, that it won't cause others to miss the Savior. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. A worker of the gospel, he was faithful, he was serving, but he's somewhere just the things of this world, the cares of this life just distracted him, lured him away, and he fell away. And not one of us sitting here is exempt from that. Just a couple choices, a couple things of our heart. And God says, put your treasure there, because that's where your heart's going to be. And let's work on that, putting our treasure up there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you gave us a warning. You said, beware. That's a danger, and you warned us about it. I pray that we'd have the right mindset that you want us to have. We develop this eternal mindset. Help us rise above and lift our eyes above and be able to see what's really going to matter and be able to see what true wealth and riches and success is in your eyes, because that's going to last forever. Give us the ability, Lord, to rise above this world's things by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.